Thanks, Christian.
We're going to talk about deep rates and non-critical strings and the input response.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for coming. So yeah, so I'll talk about work done with Samir Murthy and Jan Schust. And it's about deep brains in non-critical strings and some relation to Nicole Vaughan, your Sophie animals, for matter and so on. Okay, so so the long-term goal, or you know, the big question that's behind it, is to find a string dual, find a string dual of pure animals theory. And this is a hard problem, so I won't try to solve it at all. And instead, I will solve a little problem. What I'll try to do is to have a kind of worksheet or microscopic description of deep brains in a specific closed-string background, such that the world volume theory on these brains reduces to just n equals 1 angles with no extra matter and so on at low angles. So that is one part of the talk. Once we verify this, what then we'll do is to try to extract as much information as we can from this worksheet description. And we'll see that just doing perturbative open string theory, you know, just one-point functions and so on, we can capture some what we think are non-trivial properties of the gaze theory, like the logarithmic summing of the toppling constant and chiral symmetry breaking. So that's the main aim of the talk. Hopefully we'll get there. So the setting or the closed string background which is to look at is this non-critical strings. So that's this class space in B dimensions, where D is an even number, times this SL2R mod U1 coset conformal field theory. And we'll study this as an exact string background, you know, to all others not prime. And the level of the coset is fixed by requiring the theory is actually critical. So, for instance, if H equals D equals 4 in the equation, you'll find that K is 1. So it's a level 1 current algebra, and we'll study this, we'll study deep brains in this CFT. So, is there any reason why we should do this? Well, why not? And also, a few reasons that sketched here are as follows. First of all, the bulk theory you can do has n equals 2 supersymmetry. So the deep brains, if you just construct as boundary states in the CFT, they automatically preserve n equals 1 supersymmetry, so you don't have to do anything to break supersymmetry and so on. So you automatically get some kind of minimal Suzy gauge theory on the brain. Secondly, you can show that for the class of boundary states, we look at there's no extra matter, and just get pure blue theory, plus the greens, just that. And most important reason why we should study this theory is because it's been exactly solved. By solves, I mean that in a series of papers by Teshner and other collaborators, they have computed the three-point function exactly, and also a large number of bulk and boundary correlators. So, you know, if you put these two things together and try to make it a consistent string background by GSO projection and so on, one should be able to just say something non-trivial about the theory. Yeah.
So what the coupling of the gauge theory on the volume of the deep brain is related to the helicon?
That's right.
So, but why that can teach you something about the perturbative effects? Because if you do CFT, you're always in a regime when the string coupling is zero. For example, if I want to see chiral symmetry breaking, you know,
right, so
it's string loop corrections, which are usually, or you're going to talk about string loop corrections?
No, I'm not. So the thing I have in mind, for instance, is this paper by Klebanov, Fuyang, and Witten, where they show that the chiral symmetry breaking can be seen by just looking at the UV metric. So it's a spontaneous, so it's a non-perturbative effect on the gaze theory. But if you have a gravity derivative, it appears it manifests itself as a spontaneous symmetry breaking, you know, it's a classical gravity effect. So, you know, non-perturbative doesn't necessarily map to something non-perturbative in the string view. So we will hopefully get
okay.
Are there any questions about this setting now? Okay, so good. Well, so let's learn a little bit about the coset. So the coset idea was clarified by Witten in the paper, where he showed that he could. Sorry, I wrote so many things on one transparency. Sorry. Anyway. So it was shown that you could write this coset as a gauged Bessonian weighting model. And he showed that if you integrate out the gauge field at the tree level on the worksheet, what you get is a background with a metric and kilogram as follows. And you can see what that is by looking at, you know, the asymptotic region, which I check out the weak coupling region, which is 0 to infinity. Then it looks just like a cylinder with a linear direction along the row direction. And if you look at the row versus 0 limit, you'll see that the metric looks like flat space with a constant dilaton. If you put these two things together, you can draw a picture like that for this space. So this is called the Cigar metric, within Cigar. And this is just the bosonic ceiling. But you can show, you can predict that there are curvatures in this background, which is of the order of root k times alpha prime. That's because there is a dilaton, you have to satisfy an equation like so. From this, you can compute what the curvatures are. So this is just a meter function. So, right, so this geometric picture is not really valid, because if you remember the previous transparency for t equals 4, we saw that k was 1. We had a level 1 CFT, so there's no really geometric picture at all, and we should really rely on this CFT description to get non-trivial information out of it. So, you'll see that maybe putting n equals 2 supersymmetry, one can still get, one can still use this heuristic picture to our advantage in some cases, as you can see. So, the idea is to start with flat space R4 or RD times this guy and study dependence in the background. Okay, so before we get to that, we have made an analogy with the well-known AES CFT correspondence. So there we had, we took on the, you know, just on the left side, we took D3 brains in flat space, and we saw that the theory on the brain is n equals 4 yangle. And then we did this new horizon limit, and the gravity dual is AES 5 times 5. So just to compare and contrast what we have here, the analog of the flat space is this R4 times Cigar CFT. The analog of the D3 brains is this class of D brains I will look at, which is Neumann like along the four cloud directions and some kind of localized D brains, which is some exact boundary state in the coset CFT. And n equals 4, mass n equals 1. And we don't have any gravity dual, so we were misunderstood by the title, I'm sorry. We don't have a string dual of the, you know, of n equals 1 angular brain. And maybe there is no reason to expect a gravity dual in a supergravity because of the reasons I mentioned earlier, curvature being out of string scale and so on. But maybe it's possible to find some string dual, if I don't have any guesses at this point. So in the absence of the dual, what we'll do is to get as much information as possible from the boundary state description. Okay, so in the next couple of transforms, I'll try to indicate what it is that I'm trying to do. So the first step would be to show that indeed I can construct the brain which has n equals 1. Suppose we do have that, what do we do next? The basic idea has been clarified as I was done in the mid-90s as soon as the brains were discovered, so to speak, by Devecchia et al. In a series of papers. What they did was to show how to extract information about closed ring fields far from the deep brain, you know, which are sourced by the deep brain. And they do that by very simple closed ring computations. And they do this by analogy with by treating the deep brain as a classical object and how it sources quantum states. So, as I've mentioned here, you can write the deep brain roughly as sum over closed string states. Sense. So these x refer to all the brain, all the closed string states sourced by the brain, and the sum of x is the one-point function computed by string computation. And it, that tells you how that tells us the strength with which the closed strings are emitted by the deep brain, and you compute this particular amplitude. Okay, so. Once you do that amplitude, so I just roughly sketch the computation for flat space, and what you do is to Fourier transform, and then you see you get some kind of Green's function in the transverse direction. And so what have you computed here? What we showed was that this amplitude is sort of the first order of the linear back reaction caused by the degrain to the background which it placed. So you start with some background, you put some degrains, and this one-point function roughly computes the linear back reaction of these grains on the geometry. So let's see that explicitly in the flat space case. So the degrain considered as a soliton in supergravity has a metric dilaton and Ramondamon field, like so. Everything is specified by one harmonic function. And you see that the harmonic function is written like so with the Green's function there. And the idea is that at far-enough distances, at first order, this term is what is captured by the one-point function computation. If you normalize the degrain correctly, this one-point function and the Fourier transform computes to exactly that term, the linear back reaction of the brain. And what we plan to do is to just repeat this procedure for degrains on the cigar. Are there any questions so far? What we're going to do?
Okay. So is the idea that the first order calculation will give you the exact result?
No.
Okay.
No. Just let me compute the first order.
Yeah? If you take a step back, I mean, you had your analogy between the usual sort of description of these regrains and your. I mean, one thing you didn't say is sort of on this side there's a decoupling limit, I think.
Very good, yeah.
And so I didn't. Are you going to be able to take some kind of limit where.
No, the claim is in fact much weaker. The claim is that I don't even have a solution like that for the brains I'm talking about.
Right.
So unless I have the solution for the degrain as a solution as a soliton in supergravity and so on, there's no question of a decoupling limit.
But you can talk about the decoupling limit of the open string theory.
Yeah. So what we do have is a decoupling limit.
You will talk about it, or you have talked about it?
I haven't.
Oh, okay.
So there are two things. One is to show that on the open string theory only, there is a decoupling limit where I can decouple the master's modes on the degrain with massive modes. That I will talk about. But what I won't and I can't talk about is the other decoupling limit, where once you have the solution of the degrain as a supergravity solution, you can sort of try to find the string. That I don't have. And I think there are some preliminary work by people have shown that the equation we need to solve to find this cannot be solved analytically. So that we do by looking at six-dimensional non-critical supergravity and try to find solutions for the charges of these degrains and so on. Okay, so the plan is to repeat this for the cigar. So why are we doing this? What can the one-point functions possibly teach us? And that comes back to Alex's earlier. First thing what we need to do is to compute, for instance, the back reaction on the dilaton as a function of this radial direction. And in the usual way, we interpret the radial direction as the scale on the gauge theory. Try to interpret that as the running of the gauge coupling as a function of scale. Unfortunately, we won't be able to fix the coefficient. However, we will get the qualitative behavior there. Another thing one can do is to talk about the asymmetries of the gauge theory by looking at isometries. So we know for a fact that n equals 1 has a U1 asymmetry. So we expect something like a circle direction in the dual gauge theory. And we will, at this point, identify it with the circle direction of the cigar. Yeah, sorry.
Okay. Now, I was going to ask you, so this dilaton is the asymptotically flat solution. Are you identifying that with the gauge coupling? I would have had to take from the other island geometry and the theory and the boundary and that radial distance and the scale.
I'm going to identify rho with the radial direction and.
Yeah. Right, except for this rho is not the rho in the near island geometry but in the full geometry.
That's right, that's a good point. But yeah, as I will assume, this is the correct variable to take. Now let's see where it goes.
So when So when you say maybe it's the same with the money with something. So you will then, again, it depends on which values of rho you say. Even though you are not having really the coupling limit, you can still talk about values of rho close to
the tip of the cigar and
to the tip of the cigar far away. So what is, when you make this identification, what kind of rho region you have in mind? Near the tip of the cigar or far away?
I'll try to say that if I look at I will try to claim that if I draw the cigar like so, then rho going to zero will give me something of the IR of the state. Whereas rho loves are somehow the UV of the gas state.
And about your boundary state, I have to think that it leaves as a tip.
That one can show. That has been discussed in detail.
Tip of the cigar. Okay.
This is just a local tip. Exactly. Okay. Okay. Okay, that's a lot. Yeah.
Is that plus 4 or is minus 4 plus 4?
Maybe it's plus. Sorry,
plus.
Plus. Thanks. But, okay. So that was one thing. The other thing I wanted to mention was the asymmetry. So if you identify asymmetries with isometries of the suspected gravity dual, what you would do is to identify this theta direction, this certain direction of the cigar with this U1R isometry. And we'll see how this isometry is broken to a discrete subgroup by just doing a one-point function computation in this open string theory. And just for the record, I just mentioned briefly that one can verify that this is roughly the relative nominal. This is one of the important theta angles and the theta cigar. Again, this is keeping in mind that we don't have a gravity dual, but we're doing as much as we can in this boundary state. More questions? Comments? Okay. So, okay, maybe I've said too many times, but let me just tell you what we need. So what do we need? We need, first of all, a description of closed string operators on the cigar times class space in the exact state. Second, we need a description of the Newtonian boundary state, again exactly. Once you have the boundary state, you have to prove that it satisfies the usual Cauchy conditions and so on, which is actually quite non-trivial because this is a non-rational CFT. So it's not easy to do this step, but one can show that for this class of grains, there is a finite number of open strings that appear in this Cauchy check, and it almost behaves like a rational boundary state. This is in fact the analog of the ZZ boundary states in Liouville. Yeah. And then we have to check the supersymmetry and show that there is n equals 1 preserved by the brain. Complete the spectrum, show that it matches around n equals 1 to the animals. And once all of this is done, we should just compute this one-point function, do this Fourier transform I mentioned, and see what we get. That's the goal. Okay. Okay. Now, talk a bit technical. These are not very important details, just want to show this can be done. So a really quick summary of the closed string operators. We can show really easily that this n equals 2 supersymmetric, and I say n equals 2, this is the Wolfschmidt supersymmetry. So the Wolfschmidt supersymmetric S alpha mod U1 can be written as a bosonic graph, bosonic S alpha mod U1 times 2 free fermions. So a closed string operator, just for the record, can be separated by 5 meters. And the only thing I want to mention here is roughly what they are. So M is where we is identified with the asymptotic momentum and winding along the cigar directions. And in terms of these quantities, I can compute everything, conformal dimensions, R charge, and so on. So the full operator will be some tensor product, some product of the operator in flux phase transition and an operator of that form. Okay, and then we impose physical conditions on that, and so on and so forth. So, we get some very important. Let me just show you, for the record, two operators that we will be interested in because we will want to compute the one-point functions. So, for graviton has the form as follows. So, this piece of the usual flat space part. Mm-hmm. And in the cigar direction, it's specified by almost all the quantum numbers being zero except this J quantum number. So J is this has come from the SL2R representation label. So it came as designed from SL2R when you did the coset construction. And the same way you can write on the vertex operator for the RR axion physically. And again, it's only, the difference is that the quantum numbers are half instead of zero. So the only thing I want you to remember from this is that for the graviton, the graviton behaves like it's massive in the six dimensions. So if you write down propagator, it goes like 1 by, so for the graviton, and it goes like 1 by p squared for the RR scalar on the axis. So the important, because if you remember the formula for the to complete back reaction, you need this factor when you Fourier transform. And this will lead to distinct behaviors of carrier from the deep brain for these two fields.
No, so what's the mass of that
graviton?
I guess, is there a notion of mass in the flat
part? Yeah, so in the flat part, I'm assuming that Ku squared is zero.
So
yeah.
Ku is the momentum.
Right, so here in 4D, you have some kind of 4D momentum, which is now. And then I have some cigar part, which is some kind of a, it's got one discrete state from this cigar graviton.
Yeah.
And the same with this.
I just have a technical point that, I mean, you want to be computing with this time, one point function to this. So for the normal guy, that's the wrong picture.
Good, no, we're doing the right picture. This is just the expression of the operator in the minus half, minus half. Okay. Shall we? Okay, so much about closed string states. What about the boundary state? This is really supposed to scare you a bit. So, roughly speaking, the boundary state is, again, as I mentioned, the tensor product of a flat phase guy in the three flat dimensions, times something I haven't specified yet, which is some localized Wiener dimension in the cigar, and the dose part. And this this boundary state has been there for quite some time in the literature. It was found, okay, let me look at it. So these boundary states are obtained by solving these factorization constraints, modular bootstrap, as it's called, started by the Zimbalogikovs, and in the context of Liouville theory. Almost the same techniques are used by Kirshner in the context of ADS 3 space. He finds this class of, actually by these people, Bonsall, Shamirov, and Kirshner, they find the last class of boundary states in ADS 3, which is similar to R. And then, once they got that, there was a descent of brains from the parent theory to the coset theory done by Ribault and Shomeros. It's just history, and telling you how very important. But the final point is that explicit one-point functions are known for these operators, for these deep brains. And that's what it is. So what we did was to put all the three brains together, make sure that one can do a consistent GSO prediction, so you have space-time supersymmetry, and show that the one-two partition function in the open string channel is zero. So it guarantees space-time supersymmetry. So that answers one of our questions we have about the problem, about the brains. Once you have the partition function, you also complete the spectrum. And the spectrum indeed matches exactly with that of n equals 1 pure superanimals. And you can even have explicit expressions for the supercharges on the lower sheet, sorry, space-time supercharges on the lower sheet that preserve the boundary state. And from this, we conclude that the world volume theory is indeed n equals 1 superanimals without any extra matter. And you can see that there is a consistent decoupling limit of the open string theory where I can restrict it as Masters modes. Okay.
What's the value of the dilaton at the peak? Is there, what's the parameter in the formula? Or is there a strength scale?
It is. So,
sorry?
It's
1.
I think it's something like that. So, yeah, 5 goes like.
Maybe it's just a level.
Exactly. You lose that. So, it's a root 2 for us, which is 1. So it's that. It's a random chance. Okay.
That's pretty good. I'm worried that whether you can use everything into the coupling constants model. The question is, why is this the root approximation? The dilatum is large where the D-brain is. So why am I not this thing correct?
This is an exact one-point function.
You would say that there is a parameter that you can make small to make. I thought in this.
There is also, okay, good. So here the parameter is the string coupling of the tip.
That's a free parameter?
That is indeed a free parameter. And it appears in this quantum corrected parameter. It's the analog of mu in the new wheel. That's the only free parameter that there exists now.
You had a point at the beginning, right? So 5, which had some free constant and a partial rho.
That's for the level.
For 5?
I don't have a good answer.
I'm sorry, I think you answered. If you're saying that there is an arbitrary additive constant you can add to a dilatum, you can make it arbitrarily small. So that. And that will be uniformly small everywhere.
Right. It's possible, span out minus Q by D.
So we.
Thanks.
Well, you can do it because it's not linear. It wasn't uniformly linear. It's not a parameter. But here it's not linear everywhere.
It's not.
Yeah. So you said then you did that justify the piece.
Yes. Okay, good point.
Approximation.
Okay, so far we have done with open string theory. Now let's complete the back reaction, exactly the same way as we did for the flat space case, except there are just a few complications. I'm going to end very soon. So we do exactly the same thing. We consider tensor fluctuations and compute this this amplitude and have the following form. So the other function is the k-mu's because the D3 grid has transition variance in the four plot directions. And this is just the one point question we saw earlier for this D0 part. And this I mentioned was the was just a propagator. Okay. And now what we have to do is to do the analog of the Fourier transform in the transverse space. Because okay. In the plot direction I just get one because of the delta function. And for that, now we have come up with the first problem. So e to power kx we used because it was the solution to the pre-Laplace equation. The analog in our case now is this phi naught graviton expression here. It's the solution to the Laplace equation on the cigar. So this cigar had this metric, remember? It was times. So you use this metric and you find the solution to Laplace equation. It's being done by Tadlar for Linden Modella, for instance. And the number relation is chosen so that if you go to the asymptotic when you go to infinity, what you find is an incoming wave and an outgoing wave with a definite reflection amplitude. So this is the classical reflection amplitude and the solution is smooth at the tip. This is how this was written down. And here I've used this connection formula for hypergeometric functions or whatever. Okay, so if you, so another point emphasizes that the integral over p is from 0 to infinity, not from minus to plus infinity. And that's because of this SL2R label I mentioned. This momentum is related to this J label like so, that p only takes positive values. Somehow this is the statement that the incoming wave automatically includes the reflective wave also. So we have taken one sign of the momentum. So if you put this, if you use for the psi the exact one-point function, then it seems kind of weird that we're using this classical solution to the Laplace equation. So the prescription we use to do this integral is as follows. what we do is to write down the exact connection formula to the hypergeometric. But instead of R classical, we replace by R quantum. But R quantum is the exact two-point function which has again been computed by Teschner and collaborators. And once we do that, our data looks something horrendous like that. But what you find is that if you plug this back into this expression, then you find that the integral becomes even, and you can do the quantum integral, where you pick up contribution only from the physical gravity, the discrete state at p equals I by 2. So quick, but is there any questions about what we've done or comments? Or?
So you close it
upstairs,
but you
don't
choose the pole of the
dilatant? Yeah, I mean, that's the
only
pole in the
But isn't there more spectrum?
No, but I'm just trying to do this integral, and I see that there's only one pole that completes.
Okay. So there's only one pole.
Yeah. And, right. So we do that, and we do the integral, and we just find that the hypergeometric collapse is just a logarithm. And if again you look at the behavior of the log near rho equal to 0, which I'm actually you're hoping to amplify with me, infinite, we get again a log rho copy. Mm-hmm. So we think this is some good hint that the deep brain somehow knows about, I mean, this one point function knows about the running of the coupling of the game scale.
You get a factor of n?
N,
or theory.
Yeah, so one question is to fix the coefficient, and I'll come back to this in a minute after I discuss the same computation we do for the Riemann-Riemann scalar. Okay, for the other scalar, we do exactly the same things. We use the appropriate wave functions, we use the appropriate one-point functions, and the appropriate reflection amplitudes and so on. And what we found is quite amazingly just that f of rho is that, and if you dualize to get the Riemann-Riemann axiom, the one-point scale, you just get chi equals n theta. The theta is again this angular direction of the cigar. So now if we think this is indication that we're seeing chiral symmetry breaking, and let me just write the sketch right here. Okay. So, at the classical level, chi has a symmetry, chi goes to chi plus a constant. Right? But we know that this symmetry is broken by non-perturbative effects in the string theory by the instant terms. So, if I have a DP brain, there's a coupling of the form like so for the brain. And if you do the same thing for a instant term, what you find is just this. So, you just find So here I'm just using the fact that I can fix the normalization of the brain such that the chi is going to give me 3 times n times theta by 2 pi. Okay. Given the fact, this is just going to give me n theta. And if the non-perturbative effect makes sense, the S must be, S can be different up to identification by 2 pi. So that would be to the IS of the instant term. So if you plug that back in, what you find is that n theta is the same as n theta plus 2 pi. Or in other words, only this is a good symmetry of the theory, and not chi goes to chi plus arbitrary constant. So this is an indication that the given isometry for the given theta is broken through a Zn sub. And if you recall, I did this normalization between the R symmetry of the Yang-Mills and the U1 isometry of the cigar, and that we can do because you know how the fermions transform on the low sheet. We can differentiate this fact that the U1R is broken to Z2R as expected. So we think that from computing one point functions, we can something untrivial about the case theory.
this is only part of the circuit. Now it should be broken spontaneously further.
To Z2. That I cannot say in this slide.
So I'm saying there should be end solutions.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how to say this. This is also the case for, I think, for the Klebanov class resolution. The UV metric can see this Z2 library. But I don't think they can, at least from looking at you, they cannot argue about Z2 breaking.
I think in your case you can't see it because your dealer on it is small.
Another thing from Montesano.
There you can.
There you can.
But there he has the full string.
Yeah, the UV metric. You need to have supergravity to.
Yeah. So I don't have the ultra infrared solution. Okay, that's pretty much what I wanted to say.
If you're gonna say it, then I'll just wait. So you see this logarithmic behavior in the
dilaton,
right? Mm-hmm. So is the coefficient how do I relate to it? You're gonna talk about.
Yeah, I can't say anything very sensitive about it, but I can give you a good check on how to do it. And the check is this second bound, where you can add flavor to this system by adding not just localized deep rings, but also V5 rings. So you have three dimensions filling spacetime, 3+1, and then two directions filling the cigar as well. And if you add these brains to this system, considered, then you can add flavor to the gaze there. Mm-hmm. And you don't need to add V5 and amplify. This was shown in this paper by Fotopoulos, New York Coast, and Trezor. Mm-hmm. Where they showed that they could construct an NF flavor NC color gaze theory, and the question is whether we can repeat the same calculation here. And even if the overall normalization is off, maybe we can at least see this relative normalization between color and flavor. That would be one good check to see if this 1.5 is any sense at all. The other thing was, of course, was something that Rob earlier that it would be nice if you could find something like the deep brain solidon solution. If you can, if it makes sense. And then maybe you can ask questions like the horizon limit and what is the string dual and so on. But at this point, I don't have anything. And other thing is just future things one can do with this SL12-1 on rational safeties. These are related to some non-traffical obvious, and one can hope to reproduce these geometric engineering results of Fedrin and Kurunafa and so on by doing worksheet computations. Perturbative string computations can reproduce these world volume theories on deep-brain engineering these non-traffical obvious. Okay, I think I'll stop now.
Any more questions, Sujay? So when you said that you hope to find, for example, supergravity solutions,
yeah.
What is the theory that you start?
It's the six-dimensional Dirac-Lange gravity. I don't think people have written down from the terms at all. And people try to find solutions just with the bosonic terms.
So you don't really turn on fermions and gravity solutions?
Not turn on. I mean, if you look at the papers that try to find these solutions, the action.
They just
look at the bosonic power reaction and try to motivate some BPS-like equations, which they hope will lead to something sensible.
But also parameter actions are very large.
Yes,
that's why. So you don't really, as you said before, you don't really expect a supergravity.
I
agree. Or at least two derivatives.
Well, but people, for instance, have found adding flavor with ADS5 for the S1 kind of solutions in this background. And again, the radius of the S1 and the S5 are about the same scale. There's no free parameter. But they think because in the ADS5, alpha time directions won't change the solution, maybe they change the radii. But they won't change the solution itself, going to destabilize the solution. There's no good argument for
it. Yes, there is some puzzles. People try to use it in allied CFT, even though the curvatures are very large, and they find discrepancies precisely in the examples when you don't have conformal invariants, like running beta functions.
Right.
there are some dimension of operators that doesn't fit. Right? A normal dimension or some problem. Yes.
So you would have to find a solution in this example. It's a quadratic complete. Okay. So it's not terribly surprising that the function falls a bit lower than that.
No, that's true.
So,
except if I take a scalar field in two dimensions, I will still find the logarithmic. Maybe.
So what's non-trivial information?
We did it correctly. We did the time function. If I had said just that in the talk, you would have said, why don't you do the unbind function of your check?
Thank you. I think if this Cn minus and C minus and F will come up, then it would be a very good chance.
Yeah, I think that is the best spec from you have.
And of course, the U1 taking through the middle and
okay.
No more questions,
only for this particular unit.